If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com. Or a retailer near you.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Lip Service. I'm Angela Yee.
I'm Gigi McGuire.
I'm L'Oreal.
And we have a newbie on Lip Service.
What's up? I'm Tyler Leslie. I guess this is where I'm supposed to introduce myself. Yeah, yeah. I'm fresh off of the fresh out of the valley back on the West Coast. Tyler Leslie.
Okay.
Good to see y'all.
That's a nice outfit you have on. Yeah.
Oh, this I just threw it on, you know.
Oh, this little thing. Something I just threw on.
Now, Tyler, you have such an interesting story to me because it's not like you, your whole life was like, one day I'm going to be an actor. And
no.
That's not how things happen for you.
No. So, my way into the game was a little bit unorthodox for sure. I came up right outside of Philly. I went through a string of failures. Thought I was going to be, you know, playing football on Sunday in the NFL. Didn't work out like that, you know, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot from those losses. But, you know, when I went through those string of losses, I moved out west just because I kind of wanted to start fresh. I was about 23 when I graduated from college. And I came out west and actually I kind of just found my way into the gym. My cousin was a boxer. So I was just hanging around the gym. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got a person, kind of finessed a personal training job. And then, LA is very LA is very saturated with people in the business. So, you know, just hanging around it for a few months, probably like maybe month two or three, someone had asked me to audition. This is probably about 10, audition for something small. And this is about 10 years ago. But I had booked that role and that was kind of the start of me being intrigued by something new. So at that point I started to apply myself, you know, I got the headshots, put myself into an acting class and, you know, you did the initial steps that actors try to, you know, do. And, 10 years later, this is what I've been, you know, this is what I've been applying myself to, and this is my passion. I found it in an unorthodox way, though, for sure.
I actually found out that you was involved in the boxing after you called out old boy that knocked out Nate Robinson, Jake Paul.
And, yeah, old boy don't want none of that. Yeah.
So I really would love to see you knock him out. What
knock
do we have
out.
To do? What do we have
happen.
To do to make that happen? Like, is there a petition we could sign?
And Tyler, yeah, you better knock him out because that would be awful. It's going hard for you.
Hey. I'm doing this for P-Valley and then now it's the Tyler challenge.
No, you ain't got to worry about that. But listen, if there is a petition, we'll be the first to sign it, us four right here. So I appreciate
Let's go.
You for
nice.
Being with me. But yeah, man, you know, I for whatever reason, you know, I couldn't really articulate it, but for whatever reason, I ain't like what I saw. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm,
and
me neither.
To see him do that. First of all, I got to give my hats off to both of those men. You know, I guess we can call them fighters, even though they're not professional fighters, but they're stepping in the ring as if they are. So hats off to them for doing that. But it's like when you know the game, you know, if that was a sanctioned bout, that would never go down. right? You don't have heavyweights fighting middleweights.
Right.
You know what I mean? But because this is like a YouTube type of thing and no one's really going to check Jake for doing that, you know, they're just in it for the money. They allowed it to go down. But, you know, me being a part of that sport and having the background to go ahead and do that, you know, I think he needs to pick on someone who likes to fight back, someone who wants to, you know what I'm saying, step in there and ice him real quick. So,
I know that's fine.
You know what's funny, though? I was popping my hold on, are we allowed to like be ourselves? Are we allowed to curse?
Absolutely. Yeah, say anything you want.
Okay, please.
So I was popping my shit the other day, and, you know, I had noticed that he came out maybe a few days after. He started calling everybody out. You know, I noticed he didn't call me out. So, if he's smart, he'll just let it go. Cause you know, if he sees the dollar signs and steps into the ring, he might he might see his first loss. I don't know. Has he lost yet? I feel like he's been doing this for a little bit.
No, he only fought like 4 fights, I think. But I believed you when whatever you said you was going to do, I believed you was going to do that shit.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, I got the family, like the boxing camp that would help me prepare for that. I think where those people get into trouble is that they don't take it seriously. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'd seen a little bit of Nate Robinson's camp, and he kind of, you know, he didn't look like he was really prepared to go in there. You know what I mean? So I don't want to put it all on him. It's really the camp's job to get the fighter ready. So one thing that I'm comfortable with is, you know, having, again, you know, the cousins, the family, having the boxing camp to really prepare me for something like that, you know, outside of what I'm, you know, normally ready to do anyway. But, you know, we'll see.
People don't understand how long 3 minutes is until you're 3 minutes trying to fight and stand up in the ring.
Right.
It's tough.
A long damn time.
Yeah. It's a really tough sport. That's why they always, you know, they have that saying. You know, you play basketball, you play football, you don't play boxing. You don't.
Can I ask you something about when you were a personal trainer, to flashback to that?
For sure.
How many of your clients would you fucking, oh.
That's a good question.
No, that has to happen.
Right.
Let me get some water.
I was going to ask, how many women would hire you just because they wanted
you look good.
To train my body.
You know, that's not for me to say, because I don't really know. I never asked them. But here's what I did notice. I did notice that about probably like 90% of my clients were female based. But that was for me. But that was also like, even if I look at, you know, I was mentioning my cousin, who's a boxer. His name is Leon. He owns a few gyms out here. They're called Glove Works. He actually owns one in New York, too. But even the client base at the gym is like 75 to 80% female. So it's like, you know, it's interesting, something of a sport like boxing, how it attracts like the ladies like that. You know, I see the ladies in there kicking ass and whatnot. But you know, to get back to your question, it's probably like 90% of the my client base was female though.
They want to make sure they know how to knock a bitch out. So that
I used to do boxing for that purpose. Though I think women do that also, because when I did it, because I wanted to be able to defend myself in case something happens. Because, you know, I know that you could be walking by yourself. Somebody comes up on you. You got to fight somebody up. You want to at least know how you are able to defend yourself. And I was way better. Me and DJ Envy did it together, and I was definitely way better than him.
Wow.
Man, it's a tough thing. You know, I got a lot of I have lady friends, and, you know, say if we're well, pre-COVID, you know, back when we were all, you know, if we were out or something like that, or someone was going to their car, you know, I would make sure they get to their car, you know what I'm saying? Or I would make sure they get out or in the venue properly. And, you know, a lot of it was just because of that. Like, you know, I kind of empathize and feel what Angela Yee was talking about, because, you know, it's just a scary place out there if you don't know how to defend yourself, especially for, you know, a woman like solo, just, you know, running around the world by herself. So I implore everybody to take a couple lessons too, because it's always nice to you know, it's always a peace of mind to know how to put them together, you know.
Angela convinced me to go to Rumble for something with Kevin Hart.
Yeah, we did Rumble. Yeah,
but it was a midnight boxing class, and I was so tired because it was late. It was nice, but I wanted a drink at the same time. I'm like, wait, it's like 2 a.m.
That doesn't go together.
It seemed like drinking time, not boxing time to me, but yeah, I get
you're,
it.
You're dedicated for getting in there at 12 a.m. Shit.
Thank you. I try.
So are you an only child? I remember I read that somewhere.
Yeah I am an only child.
You said you grew up outside of Philly. I'm actually from Philly. So what part specifically?
Yeah,
I probably know.
Yeah, so I was born in Abington.
Okay.
And then, you know, I was raised in like really Bucks County. Bucks County area. So I bounced around Bucks County, Doylestown, Warrington, Warminster.
Mm-hmm. He was in the white part.
Pretty much.
Bucks County is definitely like the white area. I had, you know, so it was interesting. You know, I grew up probably until like middle school, it was all white. You know what I mean? So I'm a biracial man. So I was always growing up, I was always, you know, too black for the white kids. You know what I mean? I remember in second grade, one of the best friends, Peter Samuels, and we were riding home on the bus together. He said, "Hey Tyler, do you know what a nigger is?" And I said, and I was like, you know, again, you know, growing up in that white area, I was not privy to this information yet. You see what I'm saying? I didn't know, you know, again, only child too. It's like I had a big brother or a big sister to like school me to what was going on. So right. I was like, you know, no. And he was like, well, that's what you are. And then, you know, he got off the bus, went home. And it was interesting. It was like, he was really informing me. He wasn't trying to be, you see what I'm
racist
saying?
Or he wasn't talk trying down to at you.
Right. Exactly. That's just how that area was, you know? And then I grew, and then I got older, and then I lived in Vegas for a random year, but I moved out there in like ninth grade. I went to Foothill, and all of a sudden the whole school was black. You know what I mean? And
big
now
difference.
All of a sudden I was the light skin. You know what
now
I mean?
Now you so too white like, for the black kids.
That was my life.
Too white for the black kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I had an interesting, I have an interesting perspective growing up in that realm. You know,
you get into all black school, they call you white boy. You like, what the hell? I just was a nigga.
That's something that we can unfortunately all semi relate to. Angela's half Asian, L'Oreal's half Puerto Rican. Yeah. Both my parents are mixed, so we.
But Gigi was white when she was younger.
I was at
the truth.
I was at a point of time. It wasn't when I was younger. It was in my early 20s. I went through this phase where I really connected with white people.
So
I had a connection.
I had a serious connection with white people. And I was listening to rock music. And
What was up with you?
It was my surroundings. I was dancing at Delilah's in Philly.
Oh, okay, I know what that is. Yeah.
I was dancing at Delilah's in
Philly. Wait, hold on, slow down. Tyler, you said you know where that is, so you've been to Delilah's?
Delilah's, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Delilah's is like the premier gentleman's club in Philadelphia.
It's like near Old City, right?
Right next to Penn's Landing.
Yes, that's the word that. Yep.
Didn't you have to know every strip club to do your role in Peep Out? No, I'm joking. I just
He did a lot of research. He took it very seriously.
Yeah, he took it serious, right?
Yeah, well, I'm a method actor, so you know I had to throw some ones around. You feel me?
Are you good at throwing money in a strip club? Because I feel like that's also something that like takes some.
It
type
is.
Of
you gotta have experience.
I'm not good at it. Gigi tried to teach me.
Yeah,
I'll be throwing the whole thing and it be clumped up. She make it sprinkle.
Speaking of P-Valley, I am actually very close friends with Virgo and Simone, who played Extra, and also Brazil. Brazil, mm-hmm. We all worked at Magic City together. Nice. And Virgo was one of my really, 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 really closest friends in my entire
She's
life.
Great. I love her.
We're actually currently casted on a reality show on WeTV together. So she literally just left my house, and she'll probably be here before we end. So if she comes in, I'll tell her to.
Oh yeah, tell her to come through. Say what's up.
Yeah. But they talk so highly.
How real is P-Valley for you? Like when you watch the show, because I know
coming
you're
from
into
me?
It too.
Well, of course, since I'm so close to them, and Simone actually, she was the one who ended up being pregnant at the end, you guys. She was actually working behind the scenes to help authenticate the script, so to say, as well as being an actress, dancer. So, it was four girls in total who were actually really strippers in real life. So they were able to help, you know, make sure that everything went the way it's supposed to go. I absolutely love everything about the show. Y'all know that. I was like OD obsessed. And it wasn't just the fact that I'm a former stripper and that my friends were acting on the show, but it was really authentic. A lot of people were like, oh, that's not Atlanta strip clubs, but it wasn't supposed to be. It was Mississippi, you know?
Yeah.
So like the slang and everything and the words and everything that they use and the way that they went about things, to me, it was perfect. Like, it was really, really, really good.
And I love the show, but Gigi ODs. Like, when I tell you every time I go to her house, if I go to her house right now, P-Valley is on it. I'm like, you're watching this again? I love this show, but damn. She must have watched it 50 times the whole
time. I probably did.
No cap.
Yeah, and every time I watched it, I realized something new.
Yeah,
How exciting was it for you, Tyler, to be casted on a show? Because obviously when you were first filming it, you never know how successful something's going to be.
No. Yeah. I think, first of all, it's a blessing to have a job. You know what I mean? We all know what it's like to work in this entertainment industry. It's a very fickle one. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold. And it's like, to have a steady job is always a blessing. So it was nice to work. But I think, a show like this is probably something I would watch even if I wasn't on it. You know what I mean? It's really got its thumb on the pulse of our culture. So I remember when I got the call for it, I was super excited because here I was being able to work on something that was really, it's very like deep, difficult material. You know what I mean? But those types of roles, that type of material is what really, strengthens or sharpens your tool as an actor, right? You get to work on your chops, they call it. So I was really excited to do that. But it's also, as exciting as it is, working on stuff like that, it's like a daunting task. You know what I mean? Like you had just mentioned how, authentic it is. And that's to really tip our hats to the creator and the writer, Katuri Hall. Now she's from Memphis, right? She also went to Juilliard. So she's also like a very, she's kind of like academic with the way she writes her art, if you will. So she'll be the first one to tell you if you're doing it wrong. And if you're not getting it, you won't be there. You know what I mean? It was a very difficult, everything is difficult when you go in the audition room, but it was a very long auditioning process. Probably over a span of like 5 or 6 months, maybe going in the room six, seven times, working on different things here and there, and then to get that, the dialect down, you know what I mean? Because even before we went on set and we had dialect coaches, you still have to try to go into the audition room and still try to hit that twang.
Yep. And coming right. from, give it coming to from them. Up they top. Give them what they're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah, so coming from up top, and from the Northeast, it's like, I was not well-versed with that. You know what I mean? So it was nice to go through the gauntlet and come out on top because they're really like family now. I'm in the P-Valley universe now.
Yeah, and then there's not many really men on the show, and then you have a lot of beautiful women around you. So do you have them coming at you left and right? Or because I know it happens in real life. I see your comments and stuff like that, and the women are going crazy over you. So is that something that you dealt with on set, like where they was hitting on you here and there, extras or anything?
Yeah, listen, it was, it was definitely very aesthetically pleasing. It was nice to be on the set.
Good environment.
Good day at work. Every day.
A bunch of beautiful women, bunch of beautiful people, black people doing their thing. But I will say that, everyone on the set was kind of like myself. I'm a very driven,
professional,
focused person. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I've never really been like a victim of the flesh like that. Not when it comes to like getting your money and like furthering your dream. You see what I'm saying? I take my legacy very seriously. So when it comes to, something frivolous like that, I can kind of let it run off my shoulder. And everyone around was pretty much like that. It wasn't anything crazy. We were linking up after to have after work drinks though. So we was all turnt, We was getting turnt down there. Smoking, big drinking. It's like everybody was mad fun down there. But in terms of like the extracurricular stuff, like the fraternization, everyone was pretty like very professional.
Right. Do you have to ever stop yourself if you feel like there is a little bit of chemistry? Because that does happen in real life. Do you ever have to kind of put a block up and just stop yourself? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, it's a great thing you touched on because this is something they don't teach you in an acting class, right? Is walking that line. Because on one side, you want the chemistry to be real, right? Because we're portraying real life here. We're trying to capture those moments. It's almost like capturing lightning in a bottle. You can't capture lightning in a bottle if you're scared of going around the lightning. But you have to know how to, compartmentalize some of that energy. It's like, you want to walk to the edge, but you don't want to go over it. So again, even teetering that line right there is something that it's a skill set to be developed.
Yeah. So what is your type of woman? And are you single right now?
I'm not single right now, but I like him. I like him pretty in the face, thick in the waist, though.
Damn,
big booty.
Yeah, I like that. But that's what I'm drawn to. I will say that I've seen a beautiful woman in every race, shape, color, size. So it's like I don't think that I don't think beauty knows any boundaries. But what I'm drawn to, is definitely a little more curvy.
Did you finesse getting of your songs on P-Valley too, by the way?
Since right. You're also-
yeah, so,
it makes sense. You got some strip club songs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. So they're definitely going to be on season two.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
See, but you don't got to sleep with Uncle Clifford for it to get played.
Right. shout out to my boy Nico. He's a cool dude. But nah, I ain't sleeping with Uncle Clifford for that. I've always wanted to be taken seriously with my art, no matter what it is. You see what I'm saying? You know, I understand networking, and you know, you can get a favor here and there. I understand that, but like, I've always wanted to be taken seriously as an actor. You know, I want the same respect as a musician too. And I also understand people's babies, right? Well, sometimes when you do something for the first time, I don't know if you remember your first hosting gig, or you know, I remember some of my first gigs, but like, this was Couture Hall's baby. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just wanted to respect what she wanted to do. She had a very specific way she wanted to craft her soundtrack. So I didn't want to be like bombarding her. I kind of wanted to, you know, garner my own audience first. I wanted to drop my own stuff first, so that it kind of worked organically, as opposed to, you know, hey, I'm just another rapper trying to put my stuff on. Even though I'm Diamond on the show, it's like, you know, I wasn't really known yet for my music. So I wanted to drop more and create my own buzz first, so that, you know, it was easy when I did it. And, you know, we've talked lots about, you know, getting my music on the soundtrack. So it's a go for season two, but I kind of just wanted to work it that way, you know?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Do people call you Diamond? Because I know sometimes you get caught in your character, and that's kind of a name right there. So do people write down like Diamond?
That's a dope name. Yeah, yeah, for sure. you know, it was always Benny for a long time, and now, like,
from
you know,
head
now
to head
Diamond all of a sudden. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, like, I have some friends that really get upset when their supporters don't know their name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I try to tell them all the time. It's like sometimes when you got a hit, it happens with music all the time too. Sometimes you won't know the rapper, but as soon as you hear the song, it's like, oh, that's you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just know your work first, and it's a blessing to have that. So it's like, you know, someone call me Diamond, I fuck around, answer to the name, like, hey, what's up?
Because that means you're doing a good job, I think.
Yep. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
We're so entranced in that character that that's all we see.
Right.
When we see
Amari Hardwick hates when people call him
Ghost.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
He can't stand that.
He hates that, yeah.
And then, you know, Jaleel White does not like being Urkel.
Well, of course. Who would? But Diamond, the way that Diamond is on the show, he's fly. Like, he's a, you know what I mean? He's the best dude on the show, for real. Mm-hmm. No, to me, that's like a compliment.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, I remember, you know, again, just to go back to, like, you know, my string of failures coming from the East Coast, man, I just remember, you know, trying to get any job, and I remember trying to do something new. You know, here I was going to do this acting thing. You know what I mean? People would look at me like I was crazy, you know? So for real. It's like, I just remember I'm not too far removed from a space where no one supported me. You know what I mean? So when I have these people running up to me here and there, you want a picture or whatever, you calling me whatever, it's like, you know, I see through all of it for what it truly is, which is support, you know? Mm.
That's interesting, because people will look at you and be like, he'd be all right. He's cute anyway, so it doesn't matter. Because I'm sure all the time, like, growing up, you didn't have problems with women, and I'm sure you've always been, like, have you always been a popular person? Because like you said, you've had some losses, but people probably like, he'll be okay.
Yeah, you know, I went through phases. You know, when I was growing up, you know, in Bucks County, and I was like the only black kid. It was definitely made to feel, you know, it was definitely like a negative, like ugly aesthetic type of thing. You know what I mean? So I was definitely like growing up, and it was like an ugly thing. I was like the ugly duckling. But all of a sudden, I hit like high school, or even like a middle school, and like people started getting sexually active all of a sudden, and then it started changing. You know what I'm saying? Then I was kind of like, you know, kind of like what the girls liked a little bit, even though it was new for them. You know, they had never liked being with like a black guy or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I started playing sports, right? And then I was like, you know, I got him
right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over.
I got a scholarship to play football. And like,
So
it's interesting to see how they changed. Even when like I was running for touchdowns, now all of a sudden I was like the popular running back. So like it was different. So I went through phases of it. So it is, you know, it is what it is.
What age did you lose your virginity at?
14.
Okay.
So was like that's normal. So it had to be to, yeah, was it to a white
normal.
Yeah.
Was it to a white girl?
So no, this was actually when I was in, this is actually when I went to Vegas, and it was actually to a junior in high school. So it was like 14 and 17. Which at the time, you know, so I'm 33 now. So 30 and 33 is not a big deal. But 17 and 14.
That's a huge deal.
You get them
it's actually criminal. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. What's her name so we could go send the police to lock her up? No, I'm joking.
No names. But it was very premeditated. We had kind of planned it out the night before, and it was actually at school underneath the
bleachers.
Not the bleachers, but like the steps. We had a portion. We have a portion where like some of the classes were over at the college, so we would go walk across the street. And like if you think about like underneath the stairwell. There's kind of like that space.
The empty space.
You know, we brought the blankets and like, you know what I'm saying? Like we planned it all out.
She knew
what she was doing though.
Was this after school?
Yeah, it was in between school. We had like a little dead spot.
During school?
I was at lunch.
So you clearly didn't bathe after. There wasn't no hot rag after that, right? There wasn't the hot wash cloth on the balls after that session.
Yeah, there wasn't nothing proper after that. You know what I'm saying?
Pull your pants up and keep it moving.
So y'all just smelling like sex the rest of the night. Yes, I did. So I brought the condoms. She brought the towels. She brought the condoms because she knew what she was doing. I brought the towels, and that was it.
Y'all were fully prepared.
We was prepared. We did. She knew what she wanted.
Did she know that you were a virgin?
No, because I definitely, it's like that J. Cole song. I forget what it's called.
Yes.
But like I was definitely, you know, I'm spitting my game, and you know, because I didn't want to come off like, you know, lame. You know what I mean? I wanted to make my girl feel good, and you know, I had to cap it up a little bit.
You think it was obvious that you were a virgin? It was obvious.
Wait, so it was like 2 seconds? Like, explain how she got it. We need details.
No 2 seconds now. But no 2 seconds.
Long hole.
You know, I just remember. I remember her getting on top, and she was like, I remember all of a sudden she was going to like take control of it. You know what I'm saying? She got on top. She started doing her thing. And, you know what I'm saying? It was a few minutes. You know what I'm saying? My rhythm was off though.
This is really dirty towel.
Yeah. You know, you probably didn't even have it in. It was probably in between her thighs.
This is one of the best tell us your virgin story in lip service history. I just want to add.
We ask
a lot of people that question, and this is like one of the best answers.
Yeah, this is funny.
I'm loving this.
I probably should have lied. I'm keeping it too real with y'all.
Did you sleep with her again?
Yeah, did you get a second chance?
So I did get a second chance. It was much better the second time.
Well, you guys in the bed the second time, or at least on the couch.
Yes, we were in the house. So we weren't on the bed, but we were like, you know, we were on the couch floor area, kind of bouncing back and forth.
Okay, good.
But then it was, she was a little promiscuous. So she was bouncing around after that. So she was, I remember she went to an upperclassman. So she was junior. She started messing around with a senior now. So it's like 14 compared to 18. I didn't have no shot. He had a car and everything. I couldn't do that.
But you know what's interesting?
You know what's interesting though, is once I hit that TV, she called me up.
This is like, hey big head.
This is like 10 years later now. So we are both like big out of high school. You know, I had graduated from college, but you know, it's interesting. It's interesting how relationships always continue to redefine themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Did you fuck her again 10 years later? Be honest.
No, I did. She can't do that right now.
Guys are vindictive like that, because what they'll do is they're so vindictive, they'll try to like make you fall in love with them to get back for the hurt that you caused them from years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, guys always, and I ain't gonna snitch on my guys, but I'll talk about myself. You know, I always try to. You know, we try to play off that first puppy love like it ain't nothing. Because truly, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's really nothing. But you know, if you take that moment for what it is, you know, it kind of redefines the way you have an outlook on life or even relationships. Mm-hmm. So it does have an impact.
It's significant, to say the least.
You know, exactly. Even though we may not think about the individual, you know, that experience is significant. Mm-hmm. You know?
I just picture you in the hallway against the locker, looking down while she's with another guy. It's like
sad. No beard. Yeah, no beard. Yeah. Little Jerry curl. Sad.
You probably were scrawny.
Big scrawny back then. Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to figure out how she got your number.
So you was lanky.
I'm trying to figure out how she got your number 10 years later, child, because I know it wasn't the same. So you gave it to
her. I don't know. Facebook. She hit me on, I think it was like IG or Facebook.
Got you.
It was Facebook. You already know. Facebook.
How does she look? How does she look now, though?
Compared to high school?
Not the same. Yeah, we're just going to say that. She don't look the same. But, life happens, and it's like stress is real and circumstances happen. And, people's outlook and perspectives change. So, I just see her differently now.
She was like, just calling to tell you, you got a 10-year-old son and you need to take
care. No. Even at 14.
No, Tyler.
Did you practice putting on a condom before the first time you actually put one on?
You know what? I didn't.
Like the J. Cole song.
I didn't. No, I didn't. I kind of just, I don't even think I had like seen one out of the wrapper. This is crazy. I haven't even really thought about this experience till this conversation. So I'm like, I'm kind of reliving it right now. I was definitely on the fly with it for sure. She definitely
helped. Did you know to squeeze the air out of the tip?
No. She definitely helped. Yeah, she definitely helped me out. You know what I'm saying?
She was like, oh, the little virgin. He doesn't even know how to put a condom on.
Yeah. But she made sure she put it on and she jumped on, though. So
at least she was safe.
She got me right.
Yeah, you jump on that horse, you got to ride it.
Okay? Yeah, she was riding. She was doing her thing.
Is that your favorite position now to this day, to have a girl on top? Because that was like your first real experience. Or like, how does it work for you?
You know, I'm like I'm very much like a dancer when it comes to it. I like to communicate, you know, verbally, but I'm also listening too. So I'm definitely hitting from the back for sure. But I need to see that ass move. You know what I'm saying? my girl is very pretty in the face now. So you know, I like there's times where I gotta flip back over. I gotta look at the face. I gotta use my
mouth. So Tyler, were there times that you had women you didn't want to look at their face?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The ugly ones got to turn around.
You know, so it's like, you know, you got to, I forget what I was reading. I think, you know, these memes pop across your timeline all the time. And someone had said, like, you know, would you prefer like a 6 in the face and a 10 in the body, or a real pretty face and like, you know, like a bad built body? So like, I've definitely had that, you know, 5 in the face, you know what I'm saying, with a nice booty. And, you know, you just make it do what it do. Hit the lights. Or
Turn
over or something.
Flip over.
That sucks. Turn around.
Oh, no, bitch, no.
But I find, I find lots of different characteristics about a woman sexy, too. So even if she don't got it all together in the face, it's like, you know, there's lots of things about a woman that get me right, turn me on. So, you know, if you're smelling good, your hair is looking nice, you know what I'm saying, you're doing your thing, it's, you know what I'm saying, we get past it.
Have you ever had a woman trick on you when you were younger?
Like, what you mean by, like, what you mean trick on me?
Like buy you gifts, pay for things,
give you
money. Oh, you
mean her trick on me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Not when I was, like, young, but when I started getting, I remember my girlfriend in high school was tricking on me a little bit. But then, you know what it was? When I got to L.A., I was introduced to, even before LA, but like once I graduated from high school, I was introduced to the Cougars. You know what I mean? And the Cougars were like for sure tricking on me.
The 17-year-old Cougars.
No, not them Cougars, but I remember, we don't have to go into specifics, but yeah, I've definitely had, you know what I'm saying? Been a part of that. And it's like, you gotta be careful though. It's like when you receive, and I'm sure maybe you ladies go through this too, or if you have or not, I'm not sure. But like, you know, when you're receiving gifts, you know what I'm saying, without anything in return, you know, they're going to be expecting something. So I was a part of a scenario where she was giving me stuff and all of a sudden she broke it to me. She wanted me to show up with her at like her like ex-husband's like whatever. And I had realized that, her ex-husband was like, he was someone that was going to try to protect his space, if you understand what I'm saying. And so it was like she was using me like a pawn. You know what I'm saying? Right. And thankfully I was smart enough to understand. I said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore because, you know, if you put me in that scenario, I'm going to be forced to defend myself. And now you've got two men going crazy at each other, you know? So it's like, whether they're expecting that or whether they're expecting
that,
or, you know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He's like, I got to fight every night to prove my love.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't on that. So I had to let that go.
That's hilarious.
You know, one thing that came to my attention, you had a video that circulated, you had an interview where basically I think they asked you about going 50-50 on a date, and your response I really liked. So I want to ask you, what if a woman did sit down with a man and he was like, hey, here's my half. What you going to do? What should she do?
You know, it's going to be different from woman to woman. You know, it's like, it's not one of those answers where one size fits all. You know what I mean? I think if the woman has it in her head where, let's say, for instance, she was raised in a household where she was taught that women aren't supposed to pay any bills. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, your daddy teaches you that, you know, I'm always going to take care of you and I take care of your mother. And, you know, a man that's dating you should do the same. Right. And she's put in this scenario that you just presented. And the man says, hey, here's 50. Where's your 50? You know, if she's about her morals and she doesn't want to do that, she has every right to say, you know, I'm going to pass on this. You know? She knows.
I think that's funny to say, like, I'm going to pass on that.
Thanks, love. I'm good.
yeah. What if you just say, "I'm enjoy love" or something?
Enjoy love.
Enjoy. That's what you said. But it's like on the flip side, you know, in a practical, you know, if we look on the other side of the coin, and we say, you know, we're going to be in this 50-50. You know, we're going to be a true both feet in the relationship. We're going to give and take. You know, it's going to be a true 50-50 relationship. And you're okay with that, you know, you have every right to go ahead and accept that. And you say, okay, babe, here's my 50 and let's run it up like that. Or if it's 75.
But not on the first date. Not on the first date, though.
No, that's how I feel. No.
I think whoever asked the person on a date is supposed to pay. Like, right.
I think the guy is always supposed to pay.
Yeah.
It depends. But if you ask a guy out and you're like, hey, I want to take you out. Like,
I mean, if it's his birthday, yes.
If you say to a guy, I want to take you out. And you set up everything, then I do feel like you should at least offer to pay because it was all your idea. I'm not going to be like, I'm going to take you out. Now pay for me.
No, I was just going to say, like, I've done that before where I'm like, okay, let's go out. And then the guy would be like, you're not paying this bill. And we're like, damn, they're trying to fight me to snatch the check.
Which is fine. But I do think you should offer. Now, if you're in a relationship and you're like, let's go to the movies, then it's just whatever, whoever decides it. No, I got it this time. It doesn't matter. But I feel like on a first date, if you ask somebody on a date, that's who pays, right? Because it's your idea. Yeah. You're coming up with the whole plan. I'm asking you to go somewhere. Imagine somebody asks you to do something and then make you pay for it.
For sure. I think if we're talking about, you know, a date, your first date, if we're going to be specific with that. And again, not to go back to that interview, but like, you know, I'm just an old school person. You know what I mean? And I'm going to take care of it. That's just the type of way I am. That's the type of person I am. I think that it should be like that. You know, women, man, y'all give us a lot. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate that I feel like most people don't give you the credit that you deserve. But like, you know, if I were to give a woman a seed, you know, she turns it into, I like that game right there. You know, if I was to give a woman, you know, my offspring, my seed, she literally grows it into a human, into a child. Mm-hmm. You know, if I buy the house, she's going to create it into a home. Literally elevate us. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the least I can do is go ahead and pick up, you know what I'm saying? Pick up the food tab. It's really not a big deal. So, I root for, you know, men like myself to keep chivalry alive. Everyone always says, yeah, chivalry's dead. Now don't go out and be you know, get played and just get trampled all over. Right. But you know, you shouldn't be afraid to try to provide, to try to go ahead and pick that tab up. It's really not a big deal.
I agree.
Now, I have to be honest. I've never asked anyone on a date, so I have to never had to be in that scenario. Have you guys ever asked anybody on a date, L'Oreal, Gigi? Have you ever asked a guy on a date?
No.
My boyfriend, like somebody that I was with, and it's more so like,
I mean, oh, first date.
Let's go out.
No, not
yeah,
your first
but no,
date.
First date, no.
No. I've definitely, like I said, in a relationship, I've definitely been like, let me take you out today. And again, he still wouldn't let me pay, right. no matter what. We ate, he act like he was going to let me pay. And then he walked to the bathroom and paid. And I was like, this defeats the purpose, you know?
What do y'all feel about the woman proposing for marriage?
I wouldn't do that either.
I mean, I don't knock anyone. I think it's a new day and age, and sometimes there's stay-at-home dads now, you know what I mean? And the woman goes to work. But me personally, I would want somebody to propose to me. I wouldn't want to, I would feel like I'm not forcing, but I feel like what guy's really going to say no? It's going
to
make it.
So that's my question. You're in a relationship. If your woman was to propose to you right now, would you accept the proposal? How would you feel about that?
Set yourself up for this one.
Yeah, you did.
Feel about that.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh out loud like that. It's just like.
He's like, just yesterday, you know, my girlfriend proposed to me. Nah.
But, you know, you asking it back to me makes it real all of a sudden. So now I'm like putting myself in it. You know, there's two scenarios. There's like, so first of all, I don't know if marriage is for me. Me and my girlfriend talk about that often. So I don't know if I'm going to get married in life, period. But if I'm in this scenario, I'm definitely going to be the one getting on a knee. Now, if we are in a blue moon, you know, the world turned on its head and now my girl gets on one knee and proposes to me, which is one of my favorite beers, by the way. but I think if we were alone, in whatever way I could that came to me in the moment, I would try to articulate that I want to be the one to propose to you. So it's not like I'm saying no, but allow me to be the one that does this. Allow me to do this the right way. I think it would be important if I was going to say yes to articulate that I do want to get married. It's not like I'm saying, you know, no. But it's just that I want to do this the right way, the way that I see it going down. Mm-hmm. And now that I don't know like how to take that.
Hold that, let the dough stack is what it is. Okay, nigga threw two at me, I feel so bad.
You know what it is? I just feel weird, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm down here, I said, check it out, you put that, and I'm like, yeah. Like, that just don't, I don't know.
Look at my ring, y'all.
And then you want to see on Instagram, like,
now, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
All my single fellas.
Yeah. I would just prefer it to be the other way around, that's all. No offense to anybody who does that.
Am I mistaken, or your parents have been together? They're still married, correct?
Yeah. So my parents are still together. It's been, I think they've been married for, I was four when they got married. So it's my mother and my stepfather. I don't call him that. I call him, it's my dad.
Dad, right. Okay,
he's raised me. Yeah, he's had me even since I was like three. You know, they were together for a while and then they got
married. Your dad.
So yeah, for sure. But just for descriptive purposes, like, you know, I'm just calling it out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom and my dad have been married for, I'm 33, so 29 years now.
Wow.
So I have a great, and they still leave each other, you know, little notes on the, you know, on the magnet on the fridge and stuff. So I have a really great example of what it's supposed to look like. Yeah.
What are some sweet things that you do in your relationship? You know, you always got to be making that effort.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, you know, there are certain things that, that are like, you know, planned. I try to make sure that, you know, we have date night often, you know, we don't just get caught up at work, cause I work a lot and she works a lot. So it's easy to have your date night be a premiere or something like that, or to have it be like amongst a lot of other people. We're going out popping bottles or something like that. We're having fun, but it's like, you know, I try to always carve out, you know, intimate time for us. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether it's something as simple as going to the movies, or you know picking out our favorite restaurant, or you know what I'm saying, maybe you know, renting the boat for a day or doing something on the water. But there's also things, you know, things that happen in the spur of the moment. You know, my girl is a very cerebral person, so there's certain conversations that I always make sure that we have, that I feel like she's not having anywhere else in life, that she wants to touch on. We're very much what do they call it, like sapiosexuals also, right?
And okay.
Like you get turned on by the mind, right?
Right.
So there's all over the spectrum certain things that I do. You know, gotta make sure I beat it down, right? You feel me?
You know what? Since you guys are sapios, he's like, I'm serious. Since you guys are sapiosexuals, do you ever have tantric sex?
Tantric sex, enlighten me.
Laura, we just had a clubhouse about this.
We did have a clubhouse about it.
Yeah,
tantric sex that involves a lot of breathing and closeness without touching, and it's when you feel each other's sexual energies without actually touching each other, and it brings you to orgasm if you do it right.
So our orgasms are always like hands on.
Our orgasms come from the penis and the vagina.
Sounds like a FaceTime.
I can say that like, you know, we take that step very seriously though. You see what I'm saying? Like that part is not glossed over, it's not brushed over. And I can say that, like, you know, younger in my life, it was a space that was rushed over. You see what I'm saying? Like, even after, you know, even after my experience, you know, that I told you about when I was 14, like, even like young 20s, it's like, you know, you're so worried about getting in there, getting to action, that, like, you know, you're glossing over some of the most important,
intimate,
you know,
parts.
Intimate parts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These really, and I had to, you know, I had to learn that there's a, you know, just over my experience in life, I had to learn there's a big difference between, like, men and women, you know what I'm saying? How we get there, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like for a man, you know, a man can, we're very simple. You know what I'm saying?
You wear
the right dress. We ready to go. And it's there. And you know, y'all,
not that
y'all
easy
have
enlightened women all the time.
Yeah. And y'all have enlightened me and, you know, helped me understand that there's a whole other side to it. Even right now, you guys are putting me on game right now, because I didn't know that it had a term for it.
Mm.
What's it called again?
Tantric.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you and your girlfriend, did you approach her? Did she approach you?
She approached me. Yeah. She might be planning
that proposal now.
I have to tell her not to watch this and get any ideas. She's a very direct one. She wants to be, but she's not really like that. She approached me. I mean, at least not from what I know. You know what I mean? But this day, mm-hmm. she was, and it wasn't like she came and said, "Hey, listen, I want to fuck." It wasn't like that. But it was like, you know, she made her way over and made it a point to come, you know, initiate the conversation. You know, and from there, you know, I take it from there. But that initial, you know, opening of the door was definitely her, for sure. Yeah.
But how did you move from the space of being like just talking to being in a committed relationship?
So we went through a long period of time when we were friends. So she approached me. We went on a couple of dates. You know, we were intimate with each other and developed a friendship that lasted for a long time, because we work in the same industry. So it was like we were around each other a lot, and it just organically developed into a place where, you know, I was really the one, I'll keep it real, I was the one that kind of just, you know, I have these epiphanies a lot of times in life. You know, I had one on the East Coast. I said, you know what, Tyler, it's time to move. It's not for me anymore. You know what I'm saying? I want something different. So I had another epiphany. I said, you know, I kind of all of a sudden started, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I started thinking about, like, if I were to, you know, because she was easily accessible to me. I could reach out and have her if I wanted to. And I think because of that, I was taking her for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had this epiphany where I was like, man, I was like, this is, she's like someone that, like, I want to be with. And I don't know what I would do if I went away. You know, I work, you know, away often. So, you know, I'm in Atlanta 5 months out of the year. I got a new show on Amazon coming out where I'm shooting in New York. 5 months out of the year. So it's like, I would hate if I came back and she's booed up with somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It would hit me different if, like, I seen her on someone else's arm. So it's not like it was a territorial thing. Like, I just don't want no one else to have you. I had just realized that I want to have you. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So I went in, and this time I was direct. And I said, you know, I want to be with you. Let's be with each other. You know, in different words, but that was the message.
What about kids? You said no marriage, but what about kids?
We have a child together.
Excuse me.
You ain't tell us you was daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a
boy or
a,
boy or girl.
I have a son.
Okay.
Nice.
So when
listen, do you
to,
think that it's good to keep things private, and that's why your relationship lasts?
Yeah, and I think you chose the correct word. People often talk about, like, you know, so why do you keep it a secret? It's
secret.
Not a secret.
No, private.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, if it was a secret, I would have just lied to you right there.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, it's I've found that, you know, working in a public space, you know, what I do for a living, and you ladies know, you know, well, what we're doing right now, this is work right now, but this mm-hmm. is going to be broadcasted to everyone, right? So we work in this public space.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work in this public space, you know, you end up having extracurriculars that are in the public space. And if you look at the whole spectrum, you know, like 80-90% of your life is lived out where people are watching you. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I've understood for a long time, and I've experienced this, that having a space that's private is mm-hmm. very beneficial and really helps to be able to unplug. You know, for me, especially as a, you know, especially as a black man, you know, to go into the world. The last thing that I want from being at war with the world every single day is to come home for round two. You see what I'm saying? I like to have calm waters at home. And I think being private helps that. And, you know, my girlfriend understands that. And so it's just a great fit. You know, I've had girlfriends in the past that didn't understand that, and they want everything to be public. They don't understand why we can't publicize everything. And you won't see my kid. You won't see my kid on my IG. Yeah, exactly. And you won't see my kid on my IG the same way you won't see like my parents on my IG. I just want to keep. I've chosen to keep my private life private, and everything else, like we can talk and we can chat, and I talk to my people on my IG, and it's like we can do all that over here in this space.
Mm-hmm. I feel that, and I respect it, and that's what makes people come up with like all their own stories that they create. You know, I saw they were trying to say that you were gay, and I was like, "Well,
really? I didn't see that."
Yeah, I didn't see it, but it's like, you know, they you know, I remember when I first started out, I was seeing it here and there. For whatever reason, people were associating it with. Like my first show, I came out on a Tyler Perry show, and like for whatever reason, he gets a rap like that. And I know Tyler personally; he's not gay. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, I was seeing around him, and all of a sudden he was rubbing off on me, and people thought like I was gay or something like that. And then I remember I'd done something. I was on the set of P Valley, and maybe I was with Clifford, or I was like maybe I think I was taking a picture with Alphonse, who plays Lil Murder, and people started off with the gay thing again. And I think if you have a space, like you were saying, Angela, if you have a space that people can't figure out, they may just tag it with whatever they can create a judgment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I will say about Tyler Perry. My thing about Tyler Perry, I never think that he's gay. He just know how to pick a fine man to cast in his shows. If he don't pick the most nice looking guys, like an array of them, and I'd be like, where the hell does he find them at? I want to hang out with Tyler Perry so I can find
him. He got all of them.
Yeah, he got all the fine all men. That's why people think that, because he has a good eye for looks as well, I think.
Maybe that's what it is.
And he plays Madea so well. People can't get over that. People can't get over the fact that he plays a woman so well.
He does play the shit out of
Madea. I'm mad he ended that, because I enjoy Madea.
I think Madea coming back. That's just had to pause her for a little bit, and then she'll come back.
Madea gonna make a return.
Yeah,
the return
for sure.
Of Madea.
And you know what? As a Tyler, as a black man, and as an actor playing the role of a woman, is that something that you wouldn't do? You know, because I've heard both sides. Like, whatever the role calls for. And then I've heard people say, I wouldn't do that.
You know, it's interesting. When you get into these questions as an actor, it's another thing they won't teach you in an acting class. Acting class is just scene study. It's very, like, basic, even though it's necessary. This other side that we're touching on right now, it's something that only comes with experience. It only comes with, like, making decisions. So when you get into this realm where you're booking stuff, you get presented with these options. You know, do you want to play? And the question is always, do you want to play something that you aren't in real life, right? Some people have a problem with playing a woman. Some people have a problem with playing gay. Some people have a problem with playing a rapist or playing, you know, an abuser or whatever it is, right? Getting into these circumstances that aren't normally yours. So when you're doing that, again, it goes back to like, what is it that you want to do? You know, see, for me, like, I love the roles that I've accepted, you know, Benny, Diamond, and my new show, Ian. So for me, if I was ever going to, you have to play it all the way. You see what I'm saying? What actors do is they'll sit here and they'll say, okay, you know what? I'm going to accept this role because it's a hell of a check and I'm going to get famous, right? Because, you know, P-Valley going to blow up. Let's take Uncle Clifford. Let's take Lil Murder or something like that, right?
Right.
Let's go ahead and accept the role. We're going to blow up. We're going to get all the accolades and stuff like that. All these positive things. But then when the flip side of it comes and you have the trolls that come out of nowhere and people that are judging you and saying crazy stuff, you may not want that. So then when you're in the space of actually playing the role, you're holding back a little bit. You're not actually going all the way there. So now you're doing a disservice to the role and actually the whole universe. The P-Valley universe, if you will, the whole storyline. So I do think if you're going to accept the role, you have to go all the way. You have to go in.
That's why
I get my hats. Yeah, I get my hats off to he's developed into my friend now. His name's Alphonse, who plays Lil Murder. You know, my hats off to Alphonse because he's playing that role for real, and he's a straight man with a kid. He has a wife and a kid. You see what I'm saying? So he's doing that all the way. He's a veteran as an actor. He comes from the theater, right? So he's checking all the way in there, and he deserves all the accolades that come to him.
Yes,
so to your question, you know, I'm thankful for the roles that I've got. I don't see myself playing a woman, but that's just like it's okay to play a woman. It's okay. It's also okay to choose not to. You know, the thing is, as an actor, you just have to make sure that you truly understand what you're stepping into. And if you step into it, you have to give 100%. You cannot, you know, Will Smith talks about it often. In his first role, I forget what it was, but he played a gay role.
Six degrees of separation.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, in hindsight, he wishes he would have just did it all the way, because in the moment, he's worried about what his boys were going to think and all these outside circumstances. And he actually didn't do it. They had to cut around it to make it look real. And it kind of takes the performance down a little bit.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
So it's what about nudity? Often. What about full frontal nudity?
So I would do it. It would. So if I was going to do full frontal, it has to be on something like a P-Valley. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's done tastefully. You know, you'll see it there, and you'll see the girls get, you know, fully. There's full nudity on that show. But it's done to support the story. It's not done in
Just out of nowhere.
Here it is.
Look at it.
Tyler, what if they tell you that we want you to be limp, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, my God, his penis is so small.
But you got to ask him if he's a shower or a grower first. He might be a shower.
We need you to do this limp penis scene.
I'm a shower. I'm a shower.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you good.
He's showing and growing. So you got it.
So listen.
No worries.
P-Valley, the milk version.
D-Valley.
D-Valley.
So that's interesting, too, because... You know, this was the first show that in this season I was not nude. We were getting into Diamond storyline, and we weren't there yet. You know, who knows? Maybe second season when you go home and you see who he's with, or he's coming out the shower or something like that. When you see him in his life, you know, you actually never seen Diamond outside of the club.
No, right? You have not.
Right.
Exactly. So,
but you was about to get it in with Mississippi in there. You didn't have to get out of there though.
You don't gotta leave. Right under those bleachers.
We'll go to the break room. Yeah, to the break room.
But I will say, we was ready to fight her after. I don't want to spoil it just in case everybody didn't watch yet. But we was ready to jump her as a unit, like, because we like, girl, what are you doing?
Right. How dare you?
I think that...
Don't give it a D.
So real quick to wrap that up, because I wanted to touch on it real quick. So this is my first time...
That's what she said.
Being a part of a show that had so much nudity. So I had seen the nudity riders and the nudity clauses and stuff like that. So there are certain things that you can show and certain things you can't show. So I didn't know if you guys know this, or if you ladies know this, but you're actually not allowed to show a fully erect penis.
Oh, I've never seen one now that you said that.
So you can't show a dick on hard like that on TV.
On TV.
So it's like on TV. So on TV, you're actually only going to see limp dicks.
Yeah.
Why? That's not fair.
What's his name? Corbin, when he was in the cloud and he was there naked in the cloud. Actually, I heard that was a fake penis. Virgo told me that wasn't even his real penis, but it wasn't hard.
Look at his face. He's like,
you wouldn't know. But if you pay attention to when you watch it, it wasn't hard. He was just laying there, and it was just laying there.
So that's,
I wonder why they would make that a rule. That's so weird. Like, why can't a penis?
Because that's so porn.
Same thing with the female anatomy. You're not allowed to show the lips. You're not, like, there's certain, you can show it, but not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the
underneath.
Not
up in there.
Underneath. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get up in there.
You can show
the front,
but you can't show, like, really in between.
Exactly. So, ladies, you can't get wet.
No pink at the pink, okay?
Yeah, you can't really get all of it like that. So, it's like, there's certain rules to the game. But to get into, you know, Mississippi now, one thing that I can say about that, because there was a lot of reaction on that last scene where she pulled the gun on Diamond. Mm. There was a lot of it. So
I hate her.
We were so mad at her.
Now, real quick, before I get into it, what do you think, like, what were y'all so upset about? What do you think that the audience was feeling in that moment?
Because she was still defending him. You were defending her against him, and then she came in there defending him and pulled a gun out on you. Like,
and I get abuse and all that. I understand. Trust me, I overstand. Mm-hmm. But, like, we wanted y'all to hook up. You know what I mean? So I
think, and we also just wanted him to die.
Good guy.
We wanted you to whip his ass, or we wanted her to kill him.
Okay? And then I think because he's a white boy, too, like, it didn't help. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I think Jake Paul. Jake Paul, no bitch ass. Angela, did you see that scene?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you feel similar?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I think as a woman, and then we look at you like that's the, you know,
yeah, that's the guy. Go to him. Yeah,
you
were the hero.
You were the hero.
And then you also put yourself in that position. Like, what would you do? But then, of course, we never know what we would do in real life. But from watching it, and I always think it's from the outside in, you're watching something, and that's what makes these characters more complex. Because anybody could watch something and say, if that was me, this is what I would do. But it's
you got the inside scoop, so let us know what's tea.
Okay, so here's my thing on it. So I have to give my hats off and a shout out to Katori Hall because, you know, as a writer, she's very specific. And she's the one that really made this thing go. You know, got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, she's the one that really drives this thing. So she's the one who wrote that scene, right? Mm-hmm. So it's so easy to give the audience what they want in that scene.
What they want, yeah.
Right. You know, and here comes Diamond, the knight in shining armor. He's going to save the day. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you look at, you know, that would be just doing what the audience wants. That's not actually staying true to the story.
Mm. That's what made it dope.
And like, if you look at, you know, the human condition, it's like if you look at, unfortunately, a lot of these people, you know, a lot of times it's females, but even men, a lot of times these abused go back to the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Like for whatever reason, it's crazy. It's like something psychological.
Stockholm syndrome. Like a Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly. So for her to keep it real in that moment, even though everyone wanted the opposite, it's like, man, my hat's off to her as a storyteller, because I know lots of storytellers that would have just given the audience what they wanted. for a couple ratings. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And she kept it.
Because then think of the reaction that you had, it's so much stronger. Because
it's a visceral reaction.
Because if y'all fucked, they just would have been like, oh yeah, we wouldn't be talking about that right now. Probably would have just been another love scene. But like you said.
And think about all of us. How many times we've defended our man that was treating us like shit from everybody else. And the more people go ask somebody, the more defensive you become of that person, even when they don't.
Mm-hmm. But being from the outside, if I was Mississippi, we would have shot that white man, buried him, and then went and had sex with son. Like,
hello.
Oh, man, the girl,
we're
going
to have to bring you on season two.
Let's go. I'm here.
Gigi definitely need to be on there.
Yeah, Gigi going to be in the damn pole showing him what to do.
What you don't know about me is I created The Last Dance. 10 years ago at Magic City, I retired, and we named my retirement party The Last Dance.
I was there.
At Magic City,
there. Mm-hmm. And it became a thing. So after that, every time a dancer left the club, she had a last dance.
It was The Last Dance.
Yeah, me, Virgo, and Simone was the Trinity. You see how you guys had the Trinity?
We got the Holy Trinity,
So in Magic City, we were called the Snack Pack.
Snack Pack.
And we were their very first feature performance crew. Like, we started that whole feature performance, group performance
thing
in strip clubs. And again, Katori even said in one of her press junkets that, you know, she created that night at the club to kind of mimic the Sunday night that Mercedes had. She created that to kind of mimic times at Magic City where, and she actually said my name, Gigi McGuire would pack out the club.
Go ahead, Gigi.
Look, and now you got a hot spot on you and all that.
Right, you see that?
I learned something from you.
Listen, I remember my first time going to Magic City and I walked in and Gigi was in there working and she just jumped off whatever she was doing and came to give me a hug on naked.
Titties all on her.
I was like, and I was with my friends and I was like, this is my first time in Magic City. And then I walked in and DJ was like, Angela, he's here. And then Gigi runs over. They're like, girl, you sure this your first
time? FYI, Gigi lives there.
Right.
Still.
Have you ever thought about, coming onto the set?
I would love to.
On season two. On season two, we're gonna film it this summer. So hopefully, the pandemic should be, if not all the way gone, like you know, much more subsided. So like,
there's no pandemic in Atlanta. I heard
it's not. We're open.
That shit done skipped Atlanta.
But listen, this is really fun, and Tyler, we do appreciate you. You were really amazing. I didn't know what to expect when we did this interview, but we actually had a really great time with you. So we appreciate you being so open.
I knew he was fun because he was break dancing at Karen Civil's birthday.
Not break dancing. we have fun though. We have fun.
We had so much fun at Karen Civil's birthday party. It was a great time.
Karen.
Nope. But yes, so much love and support to you, and we can't wait for the next season. We can't wait for the Amazon. What's the series coming on Amazon Prime?
So it's called Harlem, and it's brought to you. Tracy Oliver is creating it, and Megan Good is on it.
That's my sis.
Grace Byers is on it, and a few other phenomenal ladies and myself. Mm-hmm. And we're going to resume production in 3 weeks. So nice. We were doing it, but we've been on hiatus with the pandemic for like 9 months now. Yeah, so we just figured out a way to get back on there. So we're gonna resume.
Fire.
Tyler, you are living a life. It's always a bunch of phenomenal women in yourself.
Yeah, no, it's good. I appreciate it.
You are living the life.
But man, before we bounce real quick, I just wanted to say, I've been following you for a long time. And I had a chance to obviously get on with you here. And I'm sorry, real quick, we've been friends since Karen's party, but I didn't want to butcher your name.
Like, yeah, I figured everybody messes up my name. It's
my
L'Oreal.
Last name. Yeah, it's L'Oreal, like the shampoo.
It's just spelled so messed up.
So it's been extended to L'Oreal and also Gigi. And to have you ladies, repping the way you are and continuing to follow your dreams, it's inspiring. So again, keep doing what y'all doing, because I'm a fan of all three of you. And thank you for opening up your platform to allow me to come and just, talk my shit and just be with y'all for this morning. Well, I guess afternoon
thank
over
you.
There.
But,
yep. Thank you. Love y'all.
Thank you, Diamond. You.
Oh, we love you back.
And thank you for waking up early, because you are in L.A.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you so much. Right. Thank you.
Thanks. All love. Thank you. Hope to do it in person soon.
Later.
Absolutely. We'll bring some blue moons.
Yeah, with the oranges.
Yeah, need that.
With the oranges. Right, I got you.
Bye.